Welcome, everyone. Dr. Mike Reed from Chiropractic Masters International. I want to welcome all the doctors on. We got a boatload of doctors jumping on. So I'm going to ask all of you to make sure you're in a quiet room and a quiet background, preferably on a landline, just to reduce any feedback noise. This is being recorded. I want to welcome everyone to tonight's Master Talk with my good friend, Dr. Mike Hendrickson, who's out of Phoenix, Arizona. First of all, Mike, I want to welcome you and thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining us on this talk tonight.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
So listen, you know, Mike, years ago when I was just doing, you know, just chiropractic, I was really, really frustrated with getting any corrective changes, those pre and post changes. That's when I was introduced to a form of postural corrective care. And I've known you since probably back in '90s, became good friends. And I've been using your technique for all of these years and just loving it because I did see changes. So what I want to do, Mike, let's just start with, you know, how you got involved with doing this technique and how it's evolved to your system, your PSC system.
Yeah, it started back. I was blessed and cursed at the same time to be able to train under Dr. Don Harrison in Sunnyvale, California, when he was still practicing. And back then it was called chiropractic biophysics, actually biomechanics. It went way back. So it was chiropractic biomechanics. And before all the new certification, all this stuff, he would painstakingly send students and young pupils out and make us walk malls and actually check posture for hours on end until we could master seeing shifts in the spine and rotations in the spine. From head to toe, he wouldn't even allow us to set up and do any kind of adjusting. I was able to observe him for years while I was in school and saw how hard he had to work and how many forces he had to put into the spine in order to make structural changes. And I'm thinking, well, I'm you know, 20-something years young. I'm in great shape. I can do that. But, you know, after I got out and graduated in practice and tried to do my first 46 patients in one day, and I almost collapsed. So at that point, I knew I needed to readjust this concept of, all right, I want to correct spines. I want to save nervous systems. How do I do it more efficiently? How do I do it using more math and physics, but I don't have to think more, and simplify really what the complex process of Pettibon and Dr. Harrison brought to the table. So I developed a precision spinal correction seminars, and what I've done is just added vectors. So I added forces. Instead of applying more forces to the spine, I just added them in posture visualization and actually easy setups on the adjusting table I designed. And actually, Dr. Harrison quoted me for designing and developing the first turbo table back in his first book, Physics of Spinal Correction. But the idea was is I used the drop table process in order to be able to advance this work of CVP as well as precision spinal correction. So I didn't have to beat up my body to move a pelvis or to drop into the lumbar spine or the P to A C5 or T2 adjustments. So I was able to advance this work so I could actually see more bodies and more spines and families without actually beating myself up. So I did it out of selfishness, to believe it or not, just because I wanted to make sure my body was preserved while I was correcting others. And then I started teaching. When I met you, I was teaching on a platform to be able to get this introduced so more of us chiropractors that were doing corrective work could continue to do it for 20 and 30 years. Now, I've been practicing for 28 years, and I have still left to be able to pump another 20 years. So I really thank my lucky stars that I learned from Dr. Harrison, but then I'm also proud that I evolved it. So we're continually making changes. So the technique that we teach and promote is simple. It's easy to reproduce, and it doesn't matter what kind of technique you're doing now, but having a drop table is pretty important, and having one that actually works for you is just as important.
You know, Mike, I'd have to agree with you, especially for the doctors who are on this line tonight, that, you know, we all know that in order to really, you know, have a successful practice, I mean, ultimately successful, you're seeing lots of people and you're seeing more than, you know, the average 100 a week, that it's nice to be able to preserve your body and at the same time make corrective changes. I went through that. I basically had to drop a lot of the diversified. My knees were going, my shoulders were going, and I had to really sort of incorporate more the drop technique into what I was doing. And it allowed me, you know, to last the 22 years that I was adjusting in practice. And you know, if I'm doing any adjusting now, I'm going to use as much of your PSE technique as I can. So, Mike, let's just walk us through. You know, you are very successful in practice. You got a volume practice. You work 2 days a week, and some doctors are going, how is that possible? Because this is one of the questions I always get. How can you possibly make corrective changes and be efficient and not be there 5 days a week? So let's just walk through maybe, Mike, what you're looking for an exam, and then what you do when you're checking your patients and you're doing your postural correction techniques, and what are you correcting?
Right. It all starts with, you know, day one, and you teach a phenomenal day one. Mm-hmm. We've all, you know, add a little taste to it, but in my practice is no different. And I get excited when I meet a patient for the first time, even after 28 years, because I know no matter where they've gone prior to me, we're going to evolve their technology and why it's important to understand that posture is absolutely a window into their spine and nervous system. And everybody they know, like or dislike, has posture, good, bad, or indifferent. So a big portion of my exam is standing them in front of a neurological chart that gives them an idea that the brain is not wireless and it has to communicate down the spinal column at 100%. And as the nerves exit the spine, they're either protected or irritated by the vertebra of the spine. So I tie all that process in with posture. So I let them know that poor posture unfortunately leads to poor health. And if 12 miles of nerves communicate to 75 trillion cells and only 10% feel pain, pain is a really poor indicator whether they're healthy or sick. So I really instill posture from the moment I meet them and after I thank the referral source, it's right to the neurological chart, go through that process. So I let them know at that moment that in my practice, we're going to evaluate their posture in front of a mirror on bilateral weight scales. So some of people are using sand machines or the subluxation stations, whatever you got going on, it's fantastic. But I hammer them so they can see exactly what I could see. So they're staring at themselves on my bilateral weight scales in front of a mirror as I have them close their eyes and nod their head up and down and stop when they think they're looking straight ahead. Just like you would if you've done any CBP or even Pettibon visualization, it's no different. We don't want the brain to cheat, so we want to find out exactly where the posture is in space. So when they open up their eyes, they actually look themselves and usually go, oh, wow, you know, or say something. And I don't even acknowledge the fact other than I look at their weight scales and find out where their weight distribution is. And typically it's 5, 6, 7, 8 pounds off to one side. So I let them know that balance and weight distribution is also contributing to the subluxation detection that we're looking for. And so then we start looking at the A to P visualization. So if their head shifted to the right or left, I point that out so they can visually nod their head and agree with me as we see it together in front of their own eyes, as well as their thoracics and their pelvis. So I get confirmation that subluxation and poor posture is correlative and parallel. So if, in fact, your head shifts to the right, regardless if you have symptoms in your neck and skull, we have a challenge here because the worst place to have a subluxation is in the cervical spine because now the brain can't communicate down the rest of the spinal column to communicate 100%. So they start giving me the nod. And then, as we all know, the forward head posture or that anterior weight bearing is a global subluxation challenge. So when I have them stare at themselves still in front of the mirror, I actually grab their chin with my right hand and support the T2 area with my left hand, and I gently push their chin back to where their head should be over their AC joint to show them and to get them a feel as they're staring at themselves how forward shifted their head is. And again, we just correlate that to poor posture, weight distribution, pressure on the brainstem. So in literally less than 3 minutes, I've already gone through the neurological process, correlated it with posture on weight scales, and then I take digital pictures of their posture, A to P and laterally, and then I take my specific x-rays. And so that's how we start this game of posture. And before we even leave the room, I ask them, where's the family members? Where's the wife? Well, she's working today. Do you have children? So all the beautiful things that we ask on a history form, we might as well utilize. And we always talk about, if you wait for a week to ask for referrals, what are you waiting for? You know, if dad has a head posture to the right, guaranteed if they have boys, they all follow dad's posture 80% of the time. So we don't mess around with waiting for them to get the family members in because we're basing upon posture, not upon symptoms. So that's a great way to start your process. So, you know, after that point is done, when we come back the next following day and go over their x-rays, What are we looking for? We're looking for whether or not they have a cervical curve or not. And would your whole crew agree?
Yeah, and I think that's important for the doctors who are joining this call. We got a lot of doctors jumping on kind of late here,
okay.
which is great. Just to understand that, you know, what Mike and I do, we're subluxation based doctors. We take care of posture and function, and even though symptoms are a nice thing, we don't focus on those. So this is one of the retention tools that we're building right in, letting people know we're really taking care of the cause of the problem, the 90% of the spine and nervous system, not the 10. So Mike, you've got you've done a great posture check. You've basically sort of tapped into referrals, getting the family in. You've done your X-rays. Where do you take them next? Do you have an education process? I know I have mine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So again, we take them back. Obviously, the following day they leave and they pay, and they typically will bring in or schedule their appointments for the families. We give them paperwork when they leave of the history form. So all that stuff can be filled out ahead of time, because people always ask me, well, if you're only working 2 days a week, how in the heck do you make time for exams, re-exams, and all these other things? I delegate as much as I possibly can. And I know all your clients and your potential clients are probably on a automated system, whether it's Platinum or it's, you know, all the good new gadgets that are out there, because we don't need to be, you know, being in the old school way. So I just step it up even further and make sure everybody has history forms and paperwork that, unfortunately, Phoenix makes us fill out. So we have to do that, and then we scan everything, and so everything's paperless after that. But we're planting that seed even before the patients come back and seen their own films, that the family's going to get checked. And we have a fee. We charge $150 for a film. Some of you charge $49.79 or do it for, you know, an additional or no fee after the first 7 days or before the first 7 days. However you have it set up, it doesn't really matter. Whatever works. But the goal is if you have the family back on that day too, like I know you promote, Mike, you know, we do. The reason why my group reports are successful is because they're families. They're not just, you know, six strangers in a room. So I don't have to over-educate them because they've all went through the same process. So I love to hear the sound of my own voice like most chiropractors when it comes to talking chiropractic, but I'd much rather be more intensive on educating them on lifetime care than, you know, the static pain that they may have brought in, or a headache or whatever. But like you mentioned, symptoms are going to go away, because these chiropractors that you're training, or just like chiropractors around the world, within 4 to 6 visits, those symptoms are gone. And my question to everybody is, now what? Do you have to go route and run and get another 100 new ones because everybody left and said, man, you're the best because my symptoms are gone? Or are you farming within and still going out and promoting the public? Because not only are you correcting the cause of the problem, they're all their impulses are experiencing and are improving, their physiology is improving. That's why you're using the subluxation station to prove all the improvement and be able to monitor those types of things. If not, people don't stay around long enough to actually monitor the success of chiropractic. So let's not be part of the problem, let's be part of the solution. That's been my motto for 28 years. So I'm willing to put my neck on the line. I get excited to show X-rays when I get them in that room after you've done your bang up report. And preempted all that process to show why it's important to have the arc of life, have that lateral cervical curve, because, again, it's the strongest structure in the world, and it actually protects the brainstem and not irritate it. So, you know, the worst place to have a subluxation is in the cervical spine, so you got to drive that message through to the patients so they understand whether they came in with sciatic pain, they came in with headaches. If you have a military neck, with all the great research that's been out there, it's devastating and detrimental to their bodies. And then you add whether or not they have shifts in their spine from poor posture, as well as phase of degeneration. If they have arthritic changes, all that complicates the subluxation pattern that you're trying to correct. So when we incorporate with my seminars, is obviously we go through that same process. Then we also build from there and give the patient the truth that if it's going to take 6 months to a year and a half, or a year and a half to 2.5 years to correct the spine, we get them engaged at that moment, and that we let them know that they're 50% responsible for getting this done. You can't expect a doctor, you, me, or anybody else, and I'm probably the most confident guy I know when it comes to being able to predictably correct spines, especially in the cervicals as well as in the lumbar spines. But if someone brings in a 60-year-old mess, you got to give it time to heal. All healing takes time. That's one of our beautiful chiropractic principles. Let's utilize that. But patients also need to be able to traction. We do in-office traction and home traction. We do asymmetrical exercise. So there's things that complement our adjusting skill sets on the table. And again, if I always bring it back to how long does it take us to adjust our children? Now, Mike's kids are getting big, so probably 30 seconds now. But, I mean, it takes no time to check our own children. And here some of us on the line are spending three times that or five times that with strangers. So just keep that in mind. We're not rushing through anything. We're making sure that there's specific forces and specific directions with a purpose. So that's exactly how we go about it in my practice, the Spinal Correction Center. And my patients, if you interviewed any one of them, they'll tell you, I'm no nonsense. I'm a lot of fun. But you know what? You know, I give them a 5-minute experience in 40 seconds to a minute. It's possible. It's very easy. I just, before I got on this conference call, I thought I was going to, you know, be real early, and I guess I was, but I try to golf on Tuesday mornings and get done in the afternoon because it gets blazing hot here. So I open between 3 and 3:30 for patients that I haven't seen in a while. And so, you know, again, in that literally, it was about 28 minutes. I saw 26 adjustments in 28 minutes. I was already home, poured a glass of water and got on the computer and the phone. And, you know, it's very doable not to be rushed, to be able to have a plan of attack if you have a system that's simple that can be reproduced consistently. And that's really what I teach, and that's what I've been practicing for 28 years.
You know, I agree with you, Mike. You know, you and I are two peas in a pod, and you know, patients get the big idea. They've been in the doctor's report. They see their x-rays, and they know that they need correction. And it's not uncommon that, you know, we're doing a 12-month. Some doctors doing 6 months, as long as you're doing some sort of recommendation and working on the cause of the problem. And patients do get it, that it takes healing, takes time. So let's just walk through, Mike. I've been in your practice, and for those of you who haven't seen Mike Hendrickson in practice, this guy is a master. That's why he's on a master talk tonight. And, you know, he's got a big OBR, one big room. He's got like a half wall. He's got two tables on both sides. He's got a double T-bar system. And it's great. Patients come in, front desk, they sit along the wall, they self-load. And what I love, you've got your screen going, your projector going on the wall. You've got this big, huge 10 by 12.
About a 90-inch, yeah.
It's like rolling into a drive-in theater, you know, like drive-in movies when you're a kid. Remember those things? I'm looking on this wall. This thing is massive. And, you know, patients can't miss it. So you're continually dripping. You're checking postures. You're laying people down. You're giving, you know, precise adjustments. And there's no stress. What I love what you're doing, you're actually making corrective changes. So for the average doctor that maybe isn't used to a corrective technique, walk them through how you'd maybe, you know, take that patient, quickly check the posture, how you lay them down, the average one, and how you're making drop changes.
Yeah, well, if they're basic, it's going to be a little bit, it's not that easy to explain for basic. But what we're, for example, when I start somebody out and they've never done it before, typically it's easier to see neck postures than pelvis and thoracic shifts. So for that example, I'll give you that today. A gentleman came in, he's probably 28 years young, and he's a lacrosse player. And so some of you know that I never knew what lacrosse was about 5 years ago, and now it's global in our country over here, which is great. So, again, a lot of shifting going on. Well, he took a stick to the left side of his head, which moved his head from left to right, and it kind of got stuck there. So when I check his posture, I have him stand. I always have the patient stand in front of me. I always stand at my headpiece. The reason why is I don't want to get trapped in my own environment. I think some of us be on the phone would go, yeah, I've been in the backside, and if Chatty Cathy starts going, I have no recourse. I'm trapped. So I always am in control, so I have the patient behind it. Go to my back wall, and I'm actually standing in front of them. So again, I just have the patient close their eyes. In his case, he couldn't move his head up and down too much, but I still had him visualize, realizing that his neck shift wasn't a small problem. It's a big challenge. It's just an acute one. So when I looked at his posture, his head was actually, I looked at the points from his sternal notch, his frenulum, and his glabella. And again, you know, this is, if you can point those out on your face, imagine that all those points were shifting to his left side. So his head got, again, moved from left to right. So it was moving off to the right side. So when a head shift moves that way from left to right, and when you look at his posture, he's kind of stuck there, you know, and he's not moving too well. So his neck curve is a military neck. When I took his x-rays, And I've had his x-rays from about 4 months ago, maybe 3 months now. He's probably 3 months in. So, again, his neck is perfectly straight because he's been playing with a hockey player as well. And I don't have to go into that with the hockey studs out there. So the idea when I do with his posture, and, again, his pelvis and his thoracic spine lined up real nicely. So I laid him prone, and I put him into his opposite posture. So, again, when his head got moved from left to right, he's in a right head shift. So all I did was move the headpiece from right to left and put him in his opposite or reverse posture. Because my headpiece actually moves opposite. I don't have to think about it. I have it raised neutrally. So then I cock that piece, and I can actually apply force at C5, which is the mid aspect of this cervical curve that he doesn't have, to allow me to affect his shift in his neck as well as his curve and weight bearing all at the same time with one single force. Now back, whether you did Pettibon or if you still do or if you're doing Gonstead work, it's all beautiful. But with that same posture, you may be hitting C6, you may be hitting C3, and then maybe you would play with the Atlas. But, you know, again, I would do that C5 move in the reverse posture that you'd see, lay him prone that way, and then I'd actually flip him on his back. And so that way I can bring his head back over shoulders. Again, I shift my headpiece the opposite direction to put him in his, again, reverse posture. Apply force on a double zygomatic, which is a phenomenal move. A few chiropractors aren't doing that yet. You need to add that because that takes care of forward head posture, that answered for weight bearing. That's devastating on kids, as silver foxes, and the whole crew that come in. So at that point, what I do is then I'd sit him up, and then I'd also lay him in his reverse posture and set his Atlas. So again, in three very simple moves, I'm working on changing that shift in his neck that he got from a compound injury, you know, 2 hours prior. So a very complicated neck, very easy to change. What kind of results do we get with these young kids, you think? Miraculous.
Oh, I know the kind of results you get.
Yeah. You know, they want to kiss you, but we want to make sure that you know, he's out there spreading the word. So we take care of a lot of lacrosse teams now, which is great. You know, I just didn't realize how aggressive that sport was until I've been smacked in the knee with one of those sticks. But that would be an example of, you know, and think about the doctors that are on the line. Think about the postures that you may have been adjusting. Some of you have been practicing longer than me. Some of you have been practicing, you know, 5 or 6 years. You know, are you repeating 1 year? You know, are you practicing 1 year and then repeating it 6 times or 50 times? Or are you evolving? Are you trying to push yourself a little bit to see if you can get a change? Because we were taught in school back in, I went to school in 1983 at Palmer West in Sunnyvale, California. And we were taught that you can't change structure. And I'm sure a lot of people on the line would agree.
Most of the colleges are telling, you know, the students that it's impossible to correct structure. And, you know, most kids are going up there with just diversified in their quiver, and that's about it.
Yeah, and the sad part is I'm talking to a lot of students with you, Mike, when I've team taught with you around the world, is that most of these students aren't even taking it. They're not even positioning people for x-rays. They're taking mock x-rays, so they don't even know what bones look like other than, you know, Yoakum's book or you know, it's sad. I mean, so let's get back to realities. Like, after we pass our boards and realize that, you know, those educators really didn't educate us, we have to deal with the real world. The real world comes in with real problems. So I would love to say people go, oh, well, you do correction, but you must not get any acute patients. I get so many acute patients. If I got a dollar every time someone told me I never got acute patients, I'd have to giggle out loud. It's just when you get them, you'll have a little extra in your tank, because you know if you can get a force in a three-dimensional process without hurting yourself, and you can get them put in a position right away, as you know, it's just like setting an ankle that just got sprained. It's going to heal a lot faster than letting it sit and you know, or just not touching it. So the goal is with this work, you can actually get in there for acute patients. You can actually get in there with chronic patients and educate the patient as you go along of why it's going to take a while or it's going to crack quicker because they're younger, they don't have any breakdown, and so forth and so on. So the beautiful part about the work, it is still dynamic. I don't get bored with the cases that come in. I got two little kids coming in tomorrow that I've been working on mom for about 2 weeks. They're homeschooled and she's been out of the town, and I don't make that excuse. Then dad bring him in. Finally, she's coming in with the kids because one has been on, you know, seizure medication since she's one. I go, that's fantastic. And then the other one just doesn't sleep regularly. I go, well, that all those things are abnormal. So there's no pain cycle involved, but you know what? How many times have you you know, maybe let that go by. I don't miss a thing. If they write something down on the history form or they mention it one time, that's when my radar goes up, and I use that ammunition going, look, at, if we could get your kids checked, what's it going to take? You know, is it going to hurt anything if we can give you another opinion whether or not chiropractic can actually have success with something that the medics have already written off? So it's a beautiful tool because she knows when my name of my office is Spinal Correction Center, there's really not a lot of question of what I do and what I don't do. I have surgeons that come in, and they don't get, hey, can you just check me? I go, no. I go, can you just cut me? You know, so it's the same logic. It's like, no, I would never check you without an exam and x-ray, and hopefully you'd never cut me without an exam and x-ray, and I'd run anyways. So the premise is that if your product is exactly what you want in your practice and you just need a little training to get there, we got you covered. Because Mike and I have been teaming up for quite a while, many, many moons. We go way back, but the goal is we have common subluxation correction, you know, processes that work together because it's simple and reproducible.
And, Mike, you know, we're going to open it up for some Q&A in a minute, but I know you've taught with me. We were just over in the UK teaching there, and it was a great seminar. You also have your own seminar. So for the doctors on this line, if you have a desire to see volume and you want to do make corrective changes at the same time and understand how to do pre and post, how to do care plans, I mean, Mike's a master of this, been doing 20 years. How can they get hold of you, Mike, or how can they find out about your seminars?
This is my plan of attack for your clients and your crew. I'll have them email me directly if they're interested. That way, you know what, there's no drama. My direct email is turbo3d1@gmail.com. And if you didn't spell it right, you can always go to customchiro.com. And my email is right on there, my direct email. And we got a couple of seminars in the States. One is Saturday, June 6th. In Denver, Colorado, and the other one is Saturday, September 19th in Austin, Texas. So if your crew's interested in signing up, if they actually reach out to me and they sign up by Tuesday, May 5th, I'm going to save each and every one of them $50 for attending just because they're your crew. And normally that seminar's $325. It's a 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. deal. Well, usually 5-ish to 6. So it's normally $325 for DCs and $150 for students. And again, if you guys make a commitment, those of you that want to attend, and sign up by, Tuesday, May 5th, we'll go ahead and knock that down to $275 per doctor that attend. So that's what I'm willing to do for your group.
So anyone on the phone call, just mention the code word masters. You run the master talk.
Yep.
And Mike will do that for you. So, Mike, you know, we could talk all night on this subject. We've been already chatting for half an hour. What I want to do, I want to open it up to doctors on this phone call, and if you have a question, because there's usually a lot of unanswered questions that doctors have. So if you're, you know, on this line and you have a question for Mike Hendrickson, what I want you to do is just say your name, where you practice, and you can pose the question to Dr. Mike. So my lines are open. I ask that you, you know, just remain quiet if in the background, because sometimes we get guys that can have, you know, be taking these calls in the kitchen or wherever it might be. So just make sure you're in a quiet area because all the lines are open and you can ask your question. So who's got the first question for Dr. Hendrickson?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good. Doing great.
I'm doing fantastic, man. I live, love, give, and serve every day of my life. The bottom line of it is, you know, I have one quick question, and you know, we all know that the autonomic nervous system is where we need to focus our attention, which is directly related to the 8 to 10% of the nervous system, and we all can focus on pain and all the rest of that jazz, okay? But we need to focus our patients right. The autonomic nervous system, and there's three things that I think that most patients don't really realize is that they can't sleep, they have poor digestion, and they have a bad mood. And I focus on that in my office, and I was just wondering how your take is on that in your office and how you move from a pain-based, well, not necessarily pain-based, but structural-based, because I love that C5 move you're talking about, baby. I like that shit. But the point of it is, I hear that laugh because I used to be a Pierce baby, okay? I've been doing this a long time.
Yeah, right on.
The, The bottom line on it, if you ain't hitting C5, you ain't hitting nothing. Period.
Right.
It's like one of my mainstay moves. But the bottom line on it is don't you focus on autonomic stress or the continued care of your patient. When you get past 12, 14, 15, 16, 20 visits, I mean, I set up 56 visit care plans based upon functional improvement. How about that?
Right. Yeah. That's beautiful. I go, so you really answered your own question. I go, you know, how do I do it? And I mentioned it when I do my first pre-consultation, the first 2 minutes when I thank the referral source and put it in front of the autonomic nervous chart as well as the central nervous system chart, and I let them know. And I go, let's look at the beauty, the 12 miles of nerves that flow from the brain's communication down the spinal column to all parts of the body. You can't blink your eyes, wiggle your toes, or have your heartbeat 100,000 times a day without the connection of the brain to the body. And that's not about anything other than your nervous system. So whether to get, you know, specific with the central nervous system, the autonomic nervous system, you know, you could take it. That's what your half hour to health workshops are for. I don't really get too involved. I just let them know it's all connected through the nervous system. So we don't have to get too complicated. When I got an eight, I talk the same to an 8 year old to answer your question than I do my 6 year old. I mean, if I can't communicate to an 8 year old, you know, so it's the same process. So of course, I get them so deterred off of symptoms because only 10% of the nervous system feels pain. And so I agree with you 1,000%. So I get them off of it within the first 2 minutes that, yes, you came in with body signals. I don't even like to use the word symptoms. It makes me nauseous. So body signals, they came in with body signals, and would we agree that if they have a C5 subluxation, it could create a headache? And you say, of course, absolutely. So what I do is correlate their poor, crappy posture in front of their mirror with the fact that they have poor function, and that will not improve unless we stabilize their structure and do it through corrective chiropractic. Hopefully that answers your question. But you're right on the money, man. If you're selling plants 50 or 60 visits, knowing that you expect functional improvement, then you and I both know you better get them there. So my whole premise is we get them there because we let them know that all healing takes time. And if you give us enough time, you're gonna be giggling about not only is your body improved, but all the other things that you didn't share with me. And how many times does that happen, man? People don't even share with you half the stuff that's going on with you, and chiropractic takes care of that quickly.
Right on. And that's where we have to be very, very interrogative when we continue our care, because that's where, you know, we want to utilize insurance to its maximum, you know, and that's where functional improvement comes into play. But one of the biggest things that, you know, I look at a patient, the first thing I say, I mean, when I work with a patient, the first thing I say to them, I really don't care about your symptoms. And they look at me. They look at me like I'm spitting puke green out of my head, my head's spinning. And I tell them that that's because I'm chasing symptoms with our tail on a dog. I don't want to chase a tail on a dog. I want to chase my base core objective criteria, which is my myovision, my palpation, my leg check.
Let me just add in here, Mike. I just want to say something. I just in the years of coaching, is, you know, when you look at everything that you do in an examination, everything is obsolete after the first 12. I think, Mike, you talked about that. We use the word body signals. And really all you have is x-ray and some sort of objective criteria, like if you're using a substation, thermography, EMG, whatever it might be. So that's your structure and function. If patients are educated, everyone should be taking a time out and doing some sort of doctor's report where you educate them for a good 45 minutes on spine and nervous system and getting the big idea, they'll be with you for the long haul. And the other thing I want to add, I keep hearing insurance, especially my American brothers and sisters on the phone, is really get in the habit of educating your patients, not only at the beginning, but consistently throughout care, reassessing them as you go, because insurance is not going to be around for that much longer. And it's going to come to
I can tell you it's already almost gone in Phoenix. Yep.
I'm on.
So, start educating, start going cash as much as possible. I mean, use your insurance for what it's worth right now, but, I mean, you know you're starting to see these high deductibles, and copays are only going up. So get used to going cash and educating your patients, guys.
Yep.
Do you want to know what I say to my patients? I say, hey, listen, your insurance is like car insurance. When the dent is fixed, You're done.
I like that.
There you go.
It's about as useful, isn't it? It's like, yeah. And forget about the fact that you had to pay $1,000 deductible to fix the dent. So, yeah, it's actually a horrible process. But, you know, I've always been more cash-like. The first time I even shared this with Mike when I moved here to Phoenix, I've never done insurance ever. I've always been cash. So when I come in here and they actually covered insurance, it was really kind of weird. I go, well, no wonder there's so many quote-unquote successful chiropractors in the state of Arizona, because they don't have to do anything for people to come in. It didn't cost anybody anything. I won't mention any names, but there's a lot of people called, you know, NOPE, no out-of-pocket expense, and that's how they promoted their practice. Well, they're all gone now, you know, or they're conveniently retired. So, you know, some of us are still in the trenches, and some of us still have to beat Obamacare. And so I'm all about it. It just gives me, this would be like my fourth or fifth thing I had to fight through chiropractic. And without going to jail for chiropractic, this is the next best thing for me. So, you know, it is what it is. And I think everybody needs to step up and do what we do and talk the talk. And it's not about insurance coverage, because most people have been, you know, after 24 visits, they only want to bill it, you know, or if they get 24, it's a good thing. Well, 24 is a good start, but you know what? It's not going to get them to 80 or 60 or 50. So you have to have been able to bridge that gap, and you have to do it through education, education, education.
I agree. All right, let's take another call, Mike. I have a lot of doctors on this call tonight. So if someone has a question for Dr. Mike Hendrickson, your name, where you practice, and then your question.
Hey, Mike, I got one.
Yeah.
Yeah, who is this?
This is Anthony from New Jersey.
Hey, Anthony. Thanks
What's
for being on,
Anthony?
Buddy.
Yeah, I like the thought about the mirror. I just visualize them correcting their posture once they open their eyes and look in that mirror. Is that a situation or no?
Oh, it can be if you're not staring right at them. See, that's why I'm right over their shoulder. So as I have them open up their eyes, I always tell them to hold real still so we can look together what we see. And some of them will, you know what? The women never try to adjust their posture. It's just us boys. Us stinky boys are always trying to think that we're not okay, you know, and so we're perfect, you know, whatever it is. So the men typically try to compensate. Women never try to compensate. So, but if you're staring right with them, they can't fool you, man. You're the master. So it is a lot of fun, because I get a lot of giggles out of it, because the guys that didn't realize their shoulders are 2 inches high, once they open up their eyes, they're trying to get the shoulder down, and they can't even do that. So, but it can happen if you're not in control. But that's one aspect of my practice. Well, really every aspect. I'm kind of a control freak that way, in a fun way, but I don't let them get away with it, because again, they came in through my door willingly. I didn't drag them through my door. So let me be the master for the moment and find out whether or not subluxation exists. If it does, at what level, and can we chiropractic help you with this condition? And that's what I have them in there for.
Great. Thanks, Mike. I remember you back in the Burks a decade ago. Congratulations.
Yeah, man. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right. Let's take another question. Who's got a question for Dr. Mike?
Hi, my name's Ryan from California.
Hey, Ryan.
How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I have a question about, currently I do a lot of Pettibon corrective exercises for my patients, the weights and the foams.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned that, you know, if you're doing corrective care, do you have them doing some type of different home exercise or something you give them to do outside of the office to achieve some type of corrective results?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I actually, I designed, if you go on my webpage, you'll see one of my products is a posture enhancer. And what it is I have two of them set in my office, so I can have patients actually do their reverse posture exercises in my office for the first 4 weeks. And then I show them and repeat that exercise that they can actually reproduce at home. So, I just haven't had a whole lot of luck. And with the curve correction, I have my weightless traction system that they'll traction at home. It's the home piece. And I have my cervical extension traction table in office. I have three of those lined up so people can in office for the first 3 to 4 weeks. So everything we do is very congruent, consistent. So what they take home is the same process. I just haven't had a whole lot of luck, and I've loved Burrow. I mean, I trained under Burrow for forever. And you know, when him and Harrison were having the hug and kiss dance, I just learned from two knowledgeable people. But I haven't had a lot of compliance with people falling through after they leave the office with the weighted systems and the foam stuff. With my stuff,
right.
Every 12 weeks, I hammer them. I have them bring in their wedge back to me, and I have them, and I mark where they were, so they actually have to increase their tension, so they're actually, you know, helping their cause and helping that process. I don't let them off the hook.
Great.
Okay?
Great, thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
Thanks.
All right, let's take another question. State your name and where you practice.
I've got a question.
Yeah, who is this?
This is Tim from Canada.
Hey, Tim,
all right,
Canada.
Yeah, it's a big country, Canada. What province are you in, Tim?
I'm in King City, Ontario. So.
All right, fantastic. Thanks for being on.
Nice. You mentioned, I know this is hard to describe in the phone, it might be a silly question, but you mentioned an adjustment that you said is like key, and it was, I forget what,
the
kind of blew over it quickly.
Double zygomatic?
Better just be at your seminar, but it wasn't the C5 adjustment, it was a
it's
different
It's the double zygomatic.
It was key.
The double zygomatic adjustment. Let me try to explain it to you. If your headpiece, if you have an inclined thoracic piece as part of your adjusting table, you would incline it, and then your headpiece would have to come up enough so the patient lays prone, and T2 would be at the top of the thoracic piece, and the head would cradle supine into that headpiece. So now the head, the external auditor meatus is posterior of the AC joint. So it really puts their head from forward head posture to completely the opposite, 180 degrees, resting in the headpiece. So again, the patient's supine, so you cock the headpiece, and then you'd have your hands cupped on the zygomatic bone, but not cupping the ear. So it's a very comfortable adjustment, and you do it on both sides, so bilateral, with your thenar processes on your hands. So it's the soft portion, not the hypothenar, but the thenar aspect. And so together, you'd actually apply a force from A to P, bringing their head completely anterior to posterior. That's how I'd be able to describe that to you on the phone. It's awesome. I do it on every single spine that comes in my practice. I don't, other than an infant, I do it on everybody. And with infants, I shouldn't have to do it, should I? So what I do is when I set their atlas, I put them into their posterior weight bearing while I set their atlas while they're hanging in air. And we show this stuff all at my seminars very, very consistently. And we test everybody to make sure you're doing it properly. So when you go back on Monday, you're actually making a difference. My seminars are not like, I don't care how fired up you get. I want to know that you're going to go back Monday and make a difference in your practice. So when you're building with Mike and all the rest of the things he's teaching you, this is one easy aspect to make you excited about getting changes, and it's working and it's consistent. But that would be the best way I could describe it over the phone, brother.
All right, thank you.
You know, if I could just share on that, you know, Tim, for any of the doctors on this line, you get those seniors that come in, they got that really anterior head carriage. It's just sitting forward. This is a very common posture you'll see in Parkinson's patients. So there's often a lot of stress in the cerebellum region. And Michael attests that you take a patient, you put them in this position, do the double zygomatic, and you're going to make some serious corrective changes on these people, and you're going to see a change in the tremor. So a lot of research is now showing this is postural. It's not necessarily chemical.
Right. And I have to tell you, when I first started doing this, we didn't have the equipment that we have now. And those of you that have used my tables, the turbo tables, the turbo 3 tables that actually do all the translating drops, or if you do a basic model, the turbo 1 table with a 3-dimensional headpiece, it allows you to be able to do anything at a whim. It's not, you know, I mean, no offense to Omnis and all the other things that are out there. There's too many bells and whistles to move around, so you're not going to utilize that. If you're seeing any more than 5 people an hour, you're not going to move the headpiece. You're not going to move things because it's too cumbersome. With mine, it takes seconds to set the most complex postures up, so you're going to be able to do anything you need to and not compromise your forces. So, again, if you guys get a chance to look at my website and look at my products, we're doing a lot of promotions this month. And if you mention Dr. Mike and his program, you always get taken care of. So, anyhow, again, that's customchiro.com if you haven't had a chance to write that down. Any more questions?
Yeah, and you know, I've been using, just a testimony, I've been using, Mike, your equipment for years, and everything you guys need to run a corrective office, Mike's got it, his tables, his wedges, everything, it's there. Just go to customchiro.com. You can email Mike at turbo3d@gmail.com. You'll find him online.
That's,
and
yeah,
He's got two seminars, Denver, and he said Austin, right?
Yep.
Turbo3D1, right, at gmail.com.
Yep. You always try to get rid of my one, brother.
One more question, guys. All right. Looks like that is about it. Mike, I want to thank you for being on the call tonight and for joining us. We had a lot of doctors on, so obviously there's a lot of interest in the subject. And for those doctors who are getting tired of just the straight diversified, you're having challenges with new ones, retention, and care plans. I mean, Mike and I have been doing this for years. We've got it down to a science and an art and a philosophy. We can add that. And
absolutely.
You know, I highly recommend going to one of his seminars. I mean, this is so important. I bring Mike into my seminars, and he teaches doctors how to do this. So this is one way of building a successful practice. So, brother, thank you for being on tonight, for joining us tonight, and we'll make sure we send this recording out to our database, all right?
I appreciate it. Thanks, brother. Have a good night, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks for everyone for being on this call tonight. This is Master Talk. Just watch for the next one coming up, which might be a Power Talk, Master Talk, or CA call. For those of you who are guests tonight, you can always check us out at www.chiropractic-masters.com. Top right-hand corner is 3 free gifts to help build your practice. Until then, guys, keep practicing with passion. Thanks for joining us.